diverse, independent, and yours. CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia.
Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. We do have a treat in store for you. You are here at CJSF.ca radio show, the Saluau Show, where my guest and I speak up so you can listen up and act upon what you've heard. I'm so grateful today that Eco Wisdom has let us share with our listeners a monumental workshop with three segments, three themes related to nature. I want to introduce you to the director, co-founder of Eco Wisdom, Dr. Carrie Carl, and she is going to share three different aspects of nature studies and how our brains and emotions work. Dr. Carrie has a PhD in psychology and was working as a health researcher and professor of disability studies when she suddenly acquired a severe disability affecting many areas of function, including mobility, hearing, and neurocognition. She has found nature to be the best medicine, offering physical, emotional, and spiritual healing. Now she lives off-grid on the Eco Wisdom Forest Preserve amid wild roaming moose, bear, and wolves. Sometimes when she told me that, I said, there are bears there? Where the trees help her manage her pain. With collaborators, she uses images and videos from this land and other green spaces to continue to offer online accessible nature well-being programs. Programs that are designed to be accessible to people living with disability, chronic illness, or challenges associated with aging. Eco Wisdom often and regularly offers a unique nature and forest therapy guide certification training program that focuses on accessibility and inclusion. Carrie, love to have you begin to share what you have put together today for us.
Well, what a treat it is that we have three additional Eco Wisdom community members. Of course, Charlotte, you are a graduate of our training program, but we also have Karma, Brandy, and Melissa. So I'd like to introduce you and share a little bit about each one of our special guests today. Karma makes her home beside the Kootenai Lake in the mountains of South Central British Columbia. She has raised her family of six children and now enjoys her grandchildren. They are witnessing the wonder that they have for the natural world. Karma is an active member of the Eco Wisdom community who brings a special interest in mindfulness to her study, practice, and her leading and facilitation of nature therapy programs. She has found that the Eco Wisdom training has helped in her efforts to nurture people's deepening relationship with nature. It is Karma's great joy to expand the unseen energetic relationships between all beings. Of particular interest in the course was the mindful reverence and respect for the land and her many beings, and how we are all connected. This focal point is represented by a deepening understanding of the mycelium network in the earth. And Karma lives with deep gratitude for the tree beings that are all in her life. And with their support, she looks forward to continuing to facilitate or co-facilitate accessible nature well-being programs for others as a way to offer a more expansive healing awareness of nature as a nature and forest therapy guide. Welcome, Karma, and thank you so much for being here.
Okay. So where I'm living is the southeast corner of British Columbia, and it's primarily part of the traditional territory of the Tunaha people, hence the name Kootenai has come about. We are deeply and honestly grateful for the stewardship practice over eons by the Tunaha people, and also for the example and teaching provided by this nation to this day. much gratitude.
Thank you so much, Karma, for that additional piece. So important. And now I would like to introduce a recent graduate of the Ecowisdom Nature and Forest Therapy Guide Training Program, Brandy Cook. Brandy is a holistic nutritionist and culinary graduate, blending food and nutrition to guiding clients towards a better sense of health. She's been an advocate for disability awareness, contributing to accessibility improvements in the Lower Mainland of British Columbia. With a background in public speaking, she now combines her holistic approach with her certification as a nature and forest therapy guide, helping individuals deal with pain and anxiety through mindful nature connection. Brandy, it's so lovely to have you with us today. Thank you so much for joining us. I understand that you too have a statement you would like to read.
Yes, I live in the south coast of British Columbia in a little place called Tawasin. I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge the land that I'm on today. As an Indigenous person from the Pacific Northwest coast and a resident of Vancouver, BC, I'd like to acknowledge that we are gathered today on the traditional territory of the Coast Salish peoples. This land has been cared for and inhabited by the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations since time immemorial. Let us honor their enduring connection to this land and commit to respecting their stewardship. My people were also caretakers of the land and have been for thousands of years. They are the Haida and Tsimshian nations who have lived by the forest and the sea, whose name means heart and inside the Skeena. We commit to take only what we need from this earth, leaving enough for those who come after us, just as my ancestors have done, my people, the killer whale, Gisbudwara. I want to pay respect to the mighty tree beings who have been our companions and protectors since the beginning. May we gather in one-mindedness. May we flatten all hierarchy. May we live and breathe gratitude and give thanks for the gift of life. And in my native tongue, I'd like to thank you for having me today. Hawa. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brandy.
It was beautiful.
And now I would like to introduce our very special guest, Dr. Melissa Ming Fuentes, who recently gave a workshop to our nature and forest therapy guides on the nervous system, ways to manage stress in the nervous system, and also the impacts of discrimination on the nervous system. And this was a great resource for our nature and forest therapy guides as we endeavor to make our programs inclusive to everyone. It is my pleasure to introduce to you today our Ecowisdom guest educator, Dr. Melissa Ming Fuentes. Melissa is an exceptional experienced clinical psychologist with a PhD in psychology who specializes in trauma-informed mindfulness, meditation, and yoga. With her expertise in both Eastern and Western healing modalities, Melissa believes that we all have an innate capacity for empowered and resilient living, and that with the right combination of supports, tools, and commitment, we can all find our way to a place of growth and transformation. Melissa has nearly 20 years of experience working with survivors of various kinds of trauma, including those who have been marginalized or harmed due to aspects of their identity, such as gender, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, socioeconomic status, neurodiversity, religion, as well as visible and non-visible disabilities. I am incredibly impressed by Melissa and the way she is able to seamlessly weave together compassion knowledge that is evidence-based and well-documented in the biological, social, and psychological sciences. Melissa has authored over 60 peer-reviewed publications and educational products in the area of trauma and recovery. I have been honored to know Melissa for several years now, and in fact, she and I met while we were taking the Mindfulness Meditation Teacher Certification Training led by Tara Brack and Jack Kornfield, a training that includes a 6-month unit on diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility. I have deeply appreciated Melissa's receptivity to learning more about accessibility for those of us living with disability, and also the ways that she has generously shared her wisdom and analysis as it relates to equity for members of Black, Indigenous, and people of color communities. It is with a great sense of gratitude that I welcome Melissa to join us in this conversation today, to speak to us on matters that are so important as we work as nature and forest therapy guides at EcoWisdom. And within our work, within our community, we attempt to make room for everyone within our Mindful Nature Connection programs. And this includes people who may live with disability or chronic illness or have trauma histories or be gender diverse, or perhaps they're members of BIPOC communities or multiple identities here listed in here. And so it is such a delight and so important to have you join us in this conversation. Thank you so much for being here, Melissa.
Thank you so much for inviting me, and it really is a true honor to be here with all of you, just this incredible community of people so dedicated to serving these communities and doing important work. And I just want to take a moment to do a bit of an acknowledgement, gratitude of my own. So I want to acknowledge that I live in Durham, North Carolina, in the United States, which was originally the territory of several Native nations, including the Tutelo and Saponi-speaking peoples, and many of those communities were displaced or killed through war, disease, and colonial expansion. And today, the area is surrounded by contemporary Native nations, the descendants of the Tutelo, Saponi, and other Indigenous peoples who survived early colonization. And these nations include the Halawa Saponi, the Saponi, and the Okanichi Band of Saponi. I also want to acknowledge, honor, and respect the diverse history of other Indigenous peoples in North Carolina and recognize their continuing connections to this land, the water, culture, and pay respect to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Also want to acknowledge the overlapping histories of this land, including past violence and ongoing harm produced by the legacy of racialized slavery and oppression here. And also in general want to express my acknowledgement and gratitude to my own ancestors and the ancestors of others who came before us and fought very hard, often with minimal resources, for justice and equality and respectful and reciprocal relationships to the land and each other. And I want to acknowledge all of my teachers, mentors, family, loved ones, clients, all of the elements of the earth and all the beings here. And want to acknowledge all of you, as you too are my teachers and inspirations, and anyone who might be listening, for your dedication and willingness to learn and serve the communities that you do.
So at this point, I just want to open it up and pass it on to Karma and Brandy. Brandy, again, would you like to start us off and then we'll go to Karma?
Yeah, what comes to mind is just how the peer support aspect of being in this nature, you know, mindfulness program and involved in nature connection. It's been so such a nice thing to have just for me myself. Meeting all the people with EcoWisdom, we all have such a shared, you know, kind of experience on our varying disabilities. And, you know, some people have really used the nature connection for all different reasons in their life right now. But when we come together in our small group meetings, especially, I really find that we all really open up. You know, Karma's been with us in our small group meetings. And we just talk so much, just like you said, about what nature has been doing for us lately and how we're utilizing it for our own health benefits and even helping others. And then, you know, the other thing that I was thinking is the Van Dusen program that we just put together. It was such a wonderful experience to hold a meditation with a group of people, have that collective experience and have those wind chimes going around the room. And I wasn't sure how everybody would, you know, accept it at first, because you're not really sure when people come to these experiences what they'll think. And I can tell they didn't want it to stop. We just kept going around and around with the wind chimes, and people had their eyes closed. And afterwards, we all just talked about how great it made us feel and how relaxed we felt. So it is, it's such a nice experience, and it's such a collective experience, and the peer support is just so important. So yeah, you have to share that.
Thank you so much, Brandy. Yeah, the peer support aspect of what EcoWisdom doing is, it's novel. Like, no one else is doing nature and forest therapy guide as peer support with that kind of emphasis. So it really is a beautiful application. And Karma.
Well, I want to thank you, Brandy, for bringing that up, because it's like the magic, the gem of the whole thing. It's in action, and it's so genuine, and what an opportunity. Anyways, we're grateful for this community. I just wanted to say a little bit about, well, what you were talking about, Kari, offering choice, options. First of all, there's no judgment. We're using our contemplative communication. So we're offering maybe we could listen for a minute and see what comes by our ears, and what could be triggered in our mind from that. Or we could see the sky and see how that came about in each person. But really, by doing this, I feel like we're inadvertently teaching people around us how to do contemplative listening and watching and awareness for themselves. So it's like we're helping empower people to be their own guide. And I've seen this now in action with a few people. And now I think I shared in one of our meetings, I used to go outside in the middle of the night and doing my sky watching. And that, well, I have neighbors joining me now, and they're telling stories and how that makes them feel. And it's such a beautiful thing. And this is expanding the community in ways I wasn't expecting. It wasn't a formal thing, but these practices that we learn and practice, they do emanate out like ripples on a pond. It's fabulous. Thank you.
Yeah, Melissa, let's circle back. Thank you so much, Karma. Melissa.
Yeah, thank you so much, all of you. I just love this conversation so much. I just realized I wanted to add some science tidbits, because I know we're talking about how not everyone resonates with all strategies, and we all process information differently or need different kinds of information to learn and understand. And so I wanted to just add, for the people out there who love science, one of the scientific reasons that visualization is so powerful is that when we visualize things, it actually can mold neural pathways. Like, it actually can change our brain. And there's been a lot of research with athletes in particular in which vividly imagining performing a task actually helps them effectively prepare their body to execute that action in real time. And so, like, there is a very legitimate neurophysiological process happening. So again, in the context of this conversation about choice, visualizing breath or movement or any kind of resource is not lesser than the action of doing it. It actually is helping shift things in a neural way. And this might not be news to people who are immersed in the study of nature-based mindfulness, but again, even if you are not someone who likes breath work or practices breathing, you know, we are typically breathing on our own or with the assistance of some kind of device, but our body is breathing. And when we can breathe in the scent of soil, it actually stimulates the release of oxytocin, which is a hormone that promotes bonding. And so there is, I think, something very real about being, even having a window open, even if you can't go outside, that there is something about just that primal part of us that can really release something really powerful, and can help us feel more bonded and interconnected. And it can help increase our sense of belonging. When oxytocin increases, we can feel a greater sense of interconnectedness and belonging. And so often, when we are in groups that have been marginalized or mistreated or misunderstood, that sense of belonging and interconnectedness can feel very compromised. And so, again, I think that's, you know, just another thing to keep in mind as well, that there are some of these scientific things that are happening. And then many of you have mentioned the power of community, which is extremely important. We are social mammals. We are social creatures. And there is so much that happens through connection. Oxytocin, again, is something that gets produced when we feel connected, but also some of these other things we're talking about, being able to share experience, to feel heard, to feel witnessed, to feel listened to feel like people can relate to you, even though their exact experiences are not the same. It can help us feel human in our struggles, as opposed to as though there is something wrong with us. And there's a lot of research on how that sense of common humanity, that sense of what is common between us, is something that can be an antidote to stress and trauma, and also is a component of self-compassion. Oftentimes we are able to feel more compassionate towards ourselves when we can recognize our own humanity and how other people maybe haven't had the same exact life experiences, but can relate to that form of pain or that form of suffering. So I just wanted to add a little science, since I know you asked me that and I kind of glossed over it.
Can I say a little something following that, Melissa? That's so funny. I have a helper now, and I've been teaching her over the past year how to garden. She'd never done it in her life, and she's over the moon with it. Well, just the other night she was here, and she's watering and doing her things, and she said, "What is it? Whenever I water these plants, it smells so good. I just feel so good." And I'm like, yeah, and we know what that is. She's also a scientist, so that also, oh my God, that's so fun. Yeah, it's a delight.
In this delightful moment, I'm going to break in for a second to say we've had such a wonderful sharing about connectedness, about things people can see that they could do without having to make massive changes or listen to commercials, that this is just a rich a way of sharing. And the science of oxytocin, our listeners are getting a tip of the iceberg, but I want you to continue looking for and listening for EcoWisdom Conversations. Carrie is going to take us now into looking at ways of using our experience of exclusion to fuel our desire to create more inclusive communities.
Thank you, Charlotte. Yeah, so we've had this lovely conversation. We've talked about the nervous system, and we've talked about direct experiences, and we started to naturally gravitate towards what we've witnessed in these nature and forest therapy programs with EcoWisdom, where people are feeling that sense of connectedness and validation and feeling better able to experience and also express a range of emotional experiences at the same time. So grief and pleasure and relief. And so as we, and we've also talked about, some of the science. I want to pick up on a little bit of the science, because of course we talk about sort of the forest medicine or forest bathing science in the program. So we know, for example, that the geosmin in the soil releases oxytocin. Melissa talked about that. There's also phytoncides released by the trees. And we know that the sounds of wind, water, and birds also sort of helps us to regulate the nervous system. So really, like, just stepping out into nature, being on a porch or opening a window, can have quite an experience. And our programs are offered both in person and online. And when we offer online programs, we offer a tip sheet. In that tip sheet, we talk about things that people can do. They can bring a house plant. They can bring a shell collection for text, you know, if people are like to have things to hold during a program. The house plant would have soil, so you could be breathing in some of that soil. We encourage people to open their window, right? So maybe they could feel the breeze on their cheek. Different ways that they can have these sensory experiences. And we really talked about like the importance of being together and that sense of belonging. And it's interesting because we've just finished collaborating with a PhD student in clinical psychology, and she interviewed, I believe, 15 nature and forest therapy guides and participants from EcoWisdom's programs, looking at a sense of connectedness. And of course, she found that people with disabilities found a sense of belonging that they weren't experiencing elsewhere. It was a deeper, richer type of more all-encompassing sense of, I belong. Nature is diverse. I have a different kind of body, maybe from average, but I belong here. And these are the kinds of things that we hear people say in their sharing in the circles. And it's interesting, the sense of belonging that can grow out of these programs can be quite profound. And this is important. It's important for people who are living their daily lives in ways, navigating their lives, but confronting policies, physical spaces, attitudes of other people, you know, who are saying, you're not doing it the way I do it, so we're going to assume that you can't do it, right? Like, for example, in the EcoWisdom model, we really strongly encourage co-facilitation. And I talk openly about how I couldn't do the program without the support of Kim or, you know, Karma, like people who we work as a team. And that's how we do it. And it's a rich experience for our participants, and it's accessible for those of us who are living with disability and chronic illness. So I'm just thinking about expanding because, you know, early in our training, we had some guest speakers that talked about disability justice and understanding the intersectionality between, for example, race and disability, gender identity, how people can move in the world in certain kinds of ways and experience lots of forms of sort of disconnection, like forced, not that that's desired, but disconnection, not a feeling of belonging. So again, I'd like to circle it back to maybe Melissa to talk a little bit more about, you know, I know in the workshop you talked about different kinds of traumas. Can you tell us a little bit about what kind of impact does it have when you're dealing every day with these kinds of things? I hear over and over again the phrase, you know, living with a disability feels like a full-time job. You know, that kind of like heaviness. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is such a great question. And I want to meld together a couple of different pieces here. So I had a mentor once who talked about how sometimes trauma is something big happening too fast that overwhelms our nervous system. It's sort of beyond the resources that we have, again, not because of something broken in us, but because of the nature of the stressor. But sometimes trauma is too much for too long or not enough for too long. And so I do think there is this way in which the accumulation of certain life experiences over time can culminate in trauma or can just be a trauma. And so there's a lot of research on this concept of microaggressions. And there are these metaphors that are used like death by a thousand paper cuts or drops of acid falling on stone. The idea is like you probably wouldn't experience severe harm from a paper cut unless maybe you had some kind of infection or something like that. But, you know, just going with the metaphor, just like a paper, but 1,000 paper cuts, right, would be worse, or drops of acid falling on a stone. Two might not be enough. Each individual drop isn't enough to crack the stone. But over time, all of those drops of acid will wear away at the stone. And so there is a way where an accumulation of whether it's insensitivities, invalidations, remarks,